on then.
Knights and knaves, from Camelot to Concord.
All right, we'll call it a draw.
Welcome to the Warriors Roundtable, delivered by DoorDash, your door to all things basketball.
On the right wing, in and out dribble, between the legs, offer step, wide open, left wing, three, Gucci!
Behold, King Kevin Danner.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, I very nice.
And the saint, Gary St. Jean.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game. Kevin Danner alongside the saintly one, Gary St. Jean. A lot to get to today, including an interview with Heat Spanish radio broadcaster Jose Pineda. We will talk with him for a little bit about Bam Adebayo's 83-point performance last night. What a game. Second highest scoring game in NBA history, of course, trailing only the Warriors' Wilt Chamberlain, his 100 points. But we are going to talk a lot of Warriors and not a lot of great stuff to talk about considering how the last two games have turned out. We'll get to Steph's injury update. He's going to be out for at least another 10 days, put out by Warriors PR earlier today. But, Saint, we'll start with this promising start to the road trip. You win in Houston. You give Oklahoma City everything they can handle. But it ends with a thud, and it carries over to Chase. And to me, what I take away from this is – this is just, it's bound to happen when you're out your two best players, you're out a bunch of other starting level guys who haven't largely been available, not to mention all the other injuries, and you're relying on three two-way guys who have been productive, but guys who are supposed to be 16, 17, and 18 in the lineup are now like 8, 9, and 10, and that makes a huge difference.
Kev, I was going to chat with you about possibly the Houston game being the best game of the year for the Warriors. What a great road win. Those guys, every one of them, just poured their heart and soul into it and did a great job, made big plays at the end of the game. And you make a good point. You know, that's the way the NBA is. And what the teams try to do defensively is really address, take away the strengths of the first two, three players. And then if you're getting beat by five, six, seven, eight, you kind of live with that. And so now you're asking these guys in those lower positions to move up, and they put their best defensive players on them, and the game becomes a lot tougher. And, I thought against Oklahoma City they did a darn good job. But I don't know what happened when we got to Utah. I'm going to define something. What's a good three? What's a bad three? And I've got a pet peeve about shooting long first side threes. That means coming across half court off the bounce and launching. And I had a theory that you had to make two or three threes to earn that right to do that. Now, what are defined as good ones? When I make dribble penetration into paint and make the defense contract and I hit you on the perimeter, that's a good one. Or if we change sides of the floor, I'm on the left side, I trade it up to pass it up to Draymond, he swings it over to you, you make the defense react and change, and you knock that down. Another one would be if Draymond's up on top and he doesn't have that pass, is to run a dribble handoff. And invariably, that's one of the best ones with Steph, because some defenders, for whatever reason, lose their train of thought and they go under on the screen, and that just gives a green light to somebody like Steph. So I thought the shot selection was suspect. And to let them back in that game, that was tough. And then you get the icing on the cake with the Chicago game. So, you know, this league is tough. It's not real forgiving. We've got a heck of a race in the West. And it's going to continue this way right down to the end. And hopefully a couple guys are going to be able to come back and, you know, play some good ball before hitting the road.
You bring up the paint touch threes. And I remember when Seth Cooper, who's now a Golden State assistant, when he was the head coach of the Santa Cruz Warriors in the G League, he mentioned that at one point in the season, this was not really a good three-point shooting team this year, that they were 38% on threes when the ball hit the paint. And they were 19% on all other threes. And it was like maybe a 10 to 12 game sample size at the time. It was enough for me to be like, whoa, okay, that's a major difference. Moral of the story, get the ball into the paint, make things happen from there. Another thing I want to touch on, you mentioned how the Houston game is one of the best wins of the season. You can have, when guys play as hard as the Warriors do, and like, it's not a knock on the players that are available. I think they're all very good NBA players. They've all generally played well. You can have one-off wins like Denver and Houston. They had some more guys available for Houston, but like, or for Denver than they did Houston. But like the Houston win, like, because these guys have a lot of talent, but they're going up against teams that are large. Now, Chicago aside, because they had like 11 guys on their injury report, but they did have most of their top line guys available. And so for all like the good grit and grind victories you can get, there are going to be games where you fall flat against a team that doesn't have as much talent as you, or a team that on paper you should beat, especially when you're healthy. If you're not all the way healthy, I think that's just kind of the way this goes.
You know, you make a good point. It's not just, you know, the old adage about the NBA, it's a make shot league, you know, turnovers, good shots, defense, you know, there's factors, ways you can win, even though you're not shooting the ball well. And, you know, there was just a plethora of mistakes. And then, you know, I look at Chicago and I love Giddy. Giddy, I think, has an unbelievable future. And how do you pronounce the other guy's name? Badets?
Are you talking to Matas Bezelis, the Lithuanian kid from Chicago?
Those two guys, what a bright future, you know, because I thought they made a huge mistake letting Kobe White go to Charlotte, but that may be his salary cap issues. But to build around those two guys is terrific. I'll tell you a quick one for Utah, that kid Filipowski.
Yeah.
He went to prep school where I went for a year. After high school, I went there for 1 year. It's called Wilbraham Munson, and he had a great run there. And then goes, I guess, to Duke. Yep. And, hey, that guy, I'd like to have him as my third or fourth big. He did a great job for them. Heck, they didn't even play George the last half of the game. I mean, that's where Utah is, that they didn't play their top player the second half, and yet it slips away from you.
Yeah, those are the frustrating things, right? These last two losses, especially frustrating, mainly because I think Danny Ainge was rooting for the Warriors to win that game as much as the Golden State Warriors were, and Chicago has gone into rebuilding mode as well. And I kind of felt like from the on-floor product that there were times where I felt like guys were closing out too hard on guys who can't really make you pay from deep. Like, I felt there were times like Cody Williams, who could turn into a fine NBA player. He's only in his second year. He's the younger brother of Jalen Williams. But at this stage in his career, he's not a good NBA three-point shooter. He's 0 for 4 from 3 in that game. And I felt like there were times where they were kind of chasing him off the line. And if you let a guy like that get downhill, he's going to be a lot more effective than if he's just chucking up threes. I kind of felt myself saying that to myself, like, why are the Warriors closing out like hard on guys who, in theory, aren't going to beat you from downtown?
Kev, there's a couple adages. One, in the NBA, you got to play hard, but you also have to play smart. It's not good enough to play hard. You got to be smart. Yeah. Well, what do we take into being smart? KYP, know your personnel. So you got to be alert as to who the guys are you're going to run hard at, just what you said. And if you got guys that are drivers, let them come to you. Don't go running out there and compound the felony. So that takes some time. And you got, as you said, you got, what, two or three two-way players. And I can't expect those guys to know everybody up on the board of the other team and know whether he's left, right, whether he's a three-point shooter from the corner or up on top, all that. There's a lot that goes into that scouting report.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the loss to Chicago. In addition to that issue, there were defensive rebounding issues, and it kind of opened up a 12-hour wound because I was watching my Stanford Cardinal play Pitt in the ACC tournament earlier in the day. And basically, I think Stanford needed to win two games to get in the NCAA tournament. Pitt was a 15 seed in a 15-team tournament. Jeff Capel is probably getting bought out of his contract, the Pitt head coach. And the Cardinal lost by one on a putback with like 0.9 seconds to go. And it was like the eighth offensive rebound they had given up in the second half. And I felt like for a stretch there against Chicago last night, the Warriors just could not get a defensive rebound.
Well, you're right. But when I look at what's out there, who's a pretty good rebounder? Really, the best guy on the team is Podziemski, and the second best guy is Payton. And they're two guards on your team.
That's fair.
I just give those two so much credit for what they do in the paint. It's terrific. But again, do your work early. You don't have to get into a technique session of how you box out in the NBA. You need to tweak a forearm or your wrist and just whack it into that guy and turn and go. You can't hold the guy long in the NBA because people are so quick to the ball. And there's different techniques when the perimeter is versus the interior. But, you know, as you said, Kev, they're just plays you got to come up with the ball. And you get to invariably, I don't know, this is me, in the paint, there's a skirmish to get the ball, and we don't get it, and I'm on defense. Invariably, when that offensive guy kicks it out, the guy makes the three. I don't know what it is. I just think the percentage is like you talked about before with the G League stuff. I just think guys, they just make those because keep in mind this, and I tell young guys this. It's a heck of a lot easier to make shots off of a catch and shoot. Getting your feet set, get your position, your feet, your knees, your hips, arm action versus off the dribble. Off the dribble is hard. And that's why it's so important to get that work done in the paint, rebounding.
Yeah, we'll talk a little more about the Chicago and Utah losses later on the show. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we will be joined by the Spanish voice of Miami Heat Radio, Jose Pineda. He was in the house last night in Miami, not only for the Heat's 150-129 win over the Washington Wizards, but of course, Bam Adebayo's 83-point game. What a performance from Bam. We will talk about it for a few minutes when we come back, and also taking your calls, 888-957-9570. You have all that to look forward to on the other side on this break right here on 95.7 The Game.
After some heated debate.
Are you suggesting coconuts migrate? Not at all. They could be carried. A swallow carrying a coconut?
The Warriors Roundtable is back on 95.7 The Game.
Adebayo con chance de romper el récord de Kobe Bryant. Y si sería el segundo mejor anotador en la historia de la NBA. Individualmente. Como jugador se acomoda. Tiene 81 puntos. Aquí va. Lanza. Encesta. Récord. Todo el mundo viene a saludarlo. Wow. Wow.
That's great.
That is la voz del Miami Heat. 83 puntos para Bam Adebayo last night. We are pleased to be joined by Jose Pineda, the Spanish language voice of the Miami Heat. Jose, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. But first off, what was it like being in the building last night to witness history?
Well, first of all, thank you very much, Kevin and Coach. I've met you a number of times. I've been in a lot of your pregame and postgame sessions while you were coaching. So it's been a pleasure. I'm one of seven original employees with the Heat. I've been there for 30 years, and I've seen basically.
Oh my gosh!
Every I've seen every game. Broadcast over 3,000 games, and you know, you never know what you're gonna get every night. And we thought it was gonna be like a regular Tuesday night against the Wizards. And the more important thing was that the team's on a nice hot streak right now. Had won five in a row before last night. And it was a trap game. You know, we said, listen, this is a trap game. We had beaten the team had beaten the Pistons on Saturday, and just yeah. and the week before against the Rockets. So on a run, and you know, and this is the chance to win six in a row for only the second time this year, and to be seven games over 8 games, as you say, over 500 for the first time this year. So there's a lot riding on there. Oh, and let's mention that no Hero, no Wiggins, no Powell, no Ware, no Jovic. That's Whoa. 79 points. So, Coach, as you know, that's like panic mode right there. You don't want to, you know, I'm not to disrespect anyone, but it's a team that wants to lose. It's a team that if they don't finish top eight or bottom eight, I should say, loses their pick. So it has all the writing on the wall of a trap game. So, you know, it's just a normal game. So at the beginning, it's Bam and Alex Saar going at it for the first few minutes. And I want to say that, you know, Alex had like 11 points and Bam had like 12 or 13. But then that's when it stopped. And Bam kept scoring and scoring and scoring. And then suddenly, you know, he's got 31 in the first quarter. And whoa. So you start opening the record books, obviously the most points, et cetera, not only for the Heat, but in the NBA this year, right? So you start looking at it, and I keep my own points just like, you know, Tim Roy does a great job over with you guys, a good friend. And so my book already, I ran out of space in my book. You know, normally, you know, you have 31 for the game. So I have per quarter a different pen, a colored pen, so I could see, you know, I could tell you how many points were scored in each quarter. And, you know, so I have in blue 31 points for the first quarter, and it's already to the end from left to right of my book. So I have to find guys who are not playing and start filling in there. So that gave you an idea. And then, you know, at halftime, you have the 43 points, which is the most ever in a half for our franchise. And then, you know, 62 at the end of the day. And then you go, oh, and then he passes LeBron with 61 points during that third quarter, which to me was a more emotional call, believe it or not, because, you know, it happened off of the steal and he breaks, you know, LeBron's 61 point record, which was the most before last night in our history. And then you're saying, you know, where's Kobe here now? And is this going to happen? So, you know, it was just a normal Tuesday night in Miami, you know, Heat Wizards game two before they were playing against them this year. So it was just wild. You just never know what's going to happen.
Jose, you know, well, I'm getting old now out here in the Bay Area. Let's see. I'm going to go back to Dave Wall, Ronnie Rothstein, Dr. Jack, Tony Fiorentino, and, of course, Reed doing a play-by-play. And I remember Riles being down there. You know, you're blessed. Spo's one of the very best in the entire league. And what a special night for the NBA. Because Adebayo is one of the most respected guys in the entire league. And how about having his girlfriend there, Asia Wilson, and his mom? This is like your dream, or write it up.
You can't. First of all, side note, I have dinner every night with Ronnie and Tony Fiorentino, by the way. So
That's
my torture every night to have to listen to all their stories over and over again. No, I love them. They're, you know, they're wonderful people. You know, Ronnie was our first head coach, and he's still with us. And again, Ron, although we still consider him one of the seven originals as well, although he went, you know, to Detroit and Indiana, and the WNBA with the Miami Soul, but we still consider him as one of the originals. And Tony is still there as well. He's an ambassador. He does our summer camps, so he's the third on the wheel of the seven that's been there with us.
I love
our general manager. Yeah. So about Bam, listen, this is one of the nicest people in the world. I really got emotional at the end because when he went to the stands to hug his mom, you know, raised by a single mom in a double-wide trailer in North Carolina. He keeps that picture with him at all times to remember where he came from. And to have his girlfriend there, Aja Wilson, who coincidentally is tied, I didn't know this until today, with the most points ever scored in a game in the history of the WNBA. And to see him hug her, but to hug his mom. And his mom is at every game. We call her Baba Mama Bam. And he takes it on the road as well. He travels, you know, he sends it on the road as well to many games. And to see that and to see where he's coming from, and just a wonderful person, two-time gold medal winner. He's one of the most unique players in the NBA, can play all five positions, one of the greatest defenders there is. And I know that Coach Kerr speaks volumes of him, you know, in the Olympics as well, for the USA team. So, again, you can't script it any better. But the last person you would think would be him, you know, maybe Powell, maybe Wiggs goes off, maybe Hero, who's been on a roll as well. But nobody of those guys were available last night. And, again, you just don't know. Is it life is a box of chocolates? You don't know what you're going to get. So you don't know what you're going to get in any game. That's why sports is the best, and live sports. You know, you look at the ratings going down and so many TV and linear stuff and programming, but the one that keeps up there always is live sports. People just love that. And look, last night you couldn't script it in any way, and what we had was golden, just golden.
Incredible performance from Bam last night. 83 points is 83 points, but somehow some people have found a way to poo-poo it a little bit in the national conversation. I don't share that sentiment. If you can get to 83 points, by all means, do your thing. And, like, I mean, it wasn't like Wilt didn't have help getting to 100 points or Kobe didn't have help getting to 81 points. What's your take on the national conversation the day after with Bam's 83?
It's unfortunate. That's the life we live in right now. And because of social media, that's also been exaggerated. And there always has to be, a negative side. But I don't see, like you said, when you hear guys like Kevin Durant, like, you know, superstars around the league, Damian Lillard, I heard him last night as well, saying more power to him. It's just so difficult. You try. Because, but they gave him. They didn't give him anything, first of all. If you looked at every single foul was looked at by some website, and I watched it, and they showed every single one that was a legit foul. If you're given 43 free throw attempts, which is the most in the history of the NBA, he made 36 of them. It's not like he was given the 36. You know, he actually made them. He actually also made career-high 7 3-pointers. You know, it wasn't given to him. He earned that as well. And again, they were double and triple teaming him at the end, double and triple teaming him. And he was still able to escape that or to get some contact and to go to the line. So the Wizards were even fouling other players so that he wouldn't go to the line. I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment. Just now, you know, preparing for tomorrow's game, which we play the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I'm looking, and I always keep in my book, what is their season high in points, rebounds, assists? And if it's a career high, I'll put a square on it so I know that this year was a career high. That. And I'm looking down, and forever now I have to write down 83. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's surreal. It's surreal. Are you kidding
me?
That's
awesome.
It really is surreal. Today we, those expensive jerseys, the team, the marketing department did a great job. And I don't know, whatever they were worth, $100-something. They put them all at $83. And tomorrow, you know, there's a few tickets left, and we're putting them at $13, which is his number, his actual uniform number. So, I mean, it's going to – I don't know how we're going to come down, because we're in a cloud right now. It's really an incredible feat. Even at the end, everybody, he went and hugged not only his mom and his girlfriend, but also the team ownership that's been here, you know, from day one, basically, as well. And then Pat Riley, you know, as he's going into the locker room, gave him a big hug as well. And our general manager was there as well. So it was just a surreal night. And whoever was there is going to have something to say forever. And just witness history. And I just had the honor and the pleasure to be part of this journey that we've all been on since the Heat started in 1988, and 7 NBA finals and 3 championships and parades and trips to the White House. And you know how that is, guys. You're not immune to that. You've had a great run as well. And that's all that comes with it. And just been blessed to be with the team since day one. And and enjoyed all these incredible moments that have come along, and this is definitely one of them.
Jose Pineda joining us. Jose, thank you so much for your time. Great stuff there. Congrats to Bam Adebayo, and congrats to the entire Heat organization for an incredible night last night.
Thank you, and thanks, Coach.
Jose,
always
great,
a pleasure.
Great. Thanks a million for coming on.
All right, I'll tell Ronnie and Tony you said hello.
Hey, and Riles and Andy and Spo, and I can keep going. You got a great crew down there.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thanks.
That was Jose Pineda joining us, the radio
story.
Voice, Spanish language voice of the Miami Heat, an original Miami Heat employee, almost 40 years now that the Heat have been in the NBA. Yeah, it was just great hearing his perspective on that, Saint.
It was so special. And I have a ton of respect for that franchise. And it started with Riles and the Harrison family, and they've just they just do things the right way. And it was always fun to go down there. They had some lean years, but then they got awful good. Then it wasn't a lot of fun to go there. But that's a first-class guy. And for anybody to be second-guessing or crying, and you know, I don't get that. Give the guy credit. It was a really unique achievement.
Yeah, well, from an incredible highlight to maybe one of the lowlights of the season for the Golden State Warriors, we go back to talking about these Chicago and Utah games. And again, if you want to get in here, final half hour, 888-957-9570. I did want to bring up a couple of things still from that Chicago game. The late game execution, not ideal. Mm. Draymond fouling Jalen Smith after LJ Cryer's 1-for-2 free throwing. And look, Steve said, if you ask Draymond, he'd tell you, yeah, that's my mistake. It happens. It was an unfortunate one because it looked like Jalen Smith was in no position to really put up a good shot.
Yeah, that's the truth. And even your best players make mistakes. And if you play as long as Draymond has that, that's going to happen. And I can't point any fingers at Cryer. You know, you and I watched him in the summer league. And you pointed him out. You kept telling me, saying, watch this kid. He's got the heart of a lion. And, of course, you know, played on Houston's team and going down there and seeing his teammates and coaches and recognition, family and all that. And then you have this game. I have a lot of respect for the guy. He's done a nice job. And I think he's going to find a place in the league. I really do.
Yeah.
It might be. You know, usually you keep five guards, and he could be your fifth guy, and he's a high-character guy, and he competes hard, and he's tough and smart.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr said it. His shot, it always looks like it's going in. I mean, it's pure.
He's got a beautiful shot.
Yeah, he really does.
He does.
One kind of – it turned out to be kind of all for naught, but one play that really kind of piqued my interest, I want to do a little teaching tape with the Saint here, because The Chicago Bulls were down to three timeouts late third quarter. Leonard Miller's fighting for a ball, loose ball. I've been a big Leonard Miller fan since 2022 Nike Hoop Summit. He's a G League Ignite guy, so I've followed his career rather closely. But he is on top of the ball, and it looks like, I believe it was Gary Payton II, who is trying to tie him up. And he called timeout. And my thinking was, now you're down to two timeouts for, instead of a jump ball that you likely would have won. Now, GP2 can get up there, but Leonard Miller has like 8 inches on him. And I thought it almost came back to bite Chicago, because when the Warriors went on that huge, 17-2 run or 19-2 run, Billy Donovan didn't want to call timeout because he only had two left. Outside of 3 minutes, he wanted to save those for the final 3 minutes. If he had that extra timeout, I think maybe the run could have been stopped a little sooner. I was curious to kind of get your take on that little situation there.
And you know, the trainer is usually the guy, but now there's so many guys behind the bench that maybe somebody else has that responsibility. But you're sharing that as you go into a timeout with the assistant coaches, the guys in the front. And those guys are, when you get in that fourth quarter, you're talking about how many we got left and if we're going to lose one. And, you know, if we get in a situation where we want to use one, So there's a lot of verbiage that's going on right there. And as you said, you know, it kind of worked for them. But you really, those are the little things that happen in an NBA game. And just because, you know, the mistake is made again, I'm looking at the assistants. I'm looking at everybody, the veteran guys sharing, you know, all that info, because that can win and lose a game.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever come across Trent Johnson during your days, Gary St. Jean. My boss at Stanford, he was the head coach at Stanford for my first 3 years there when I was a manager. And he'd break every huddle, basically, or he'd break a lot of huddles saying, whatever you do, don't call timeout. Don't call timeout. Because, like, you want to save those things until you really need them in the stretch of the game. And it almost came back to bite Chicago in that one. Of course it didn't. They came back. Yeah. They were down 8 with 90 seconds to go. Got that thing
That's
to
amazing.
Overtime. Yeah. And when Pat Spencer hit that three, that kind of hash mark three, I was like, game. And then I thought it was over.
That's what I thought.
But Modest Mazzelis comes back and hits it, and he was not super efficient in route to that 41 points. He wasn't super efficient from downtown, but he hit a huge three there to get it back down to five. And then the thing kind of unraveled from there. One thing from the Utah game, I thought this game was a little more frustrating for Golden State.
Because I did too. Yeah.
Back end of a back-to-back, the Chicago game, you're coming from Utah. Like, all right. I mean, obviously you expect to beat a team that's tanking. But, like, I'd say that's a little more forgivable than losing to a team that set their best player who was healthy in the entire fourth quarter and had a finishing lineup of Cody Williams, who's in his second year in the NBA, Blake Hinson, who had the go-ahead three, who was with the Santa Cruz Warriors last year. He was in summer league with Golden State. I love Blake Hinson. Elijah Harkless, who's on a two-way contract, John Conchar, who has been on a two-way contract, and Kyle Filipowski. And really, only one of those guys in Filipowski is a part of their future.
Well, you know what I'm thinking about when that kid from Pitt makes Vincent. That shot?
Yeah.
Who the heck am I thinking of right away? I'm thinking of you, because you and I were doing the games and you said, now this guy's not too quick, but he's got a heck of a touch and he's not that far away from making a team. And so I kind of kept an eye on him and that kind of thing. And I knew a guy named Timmy O'Toole, who's one of there, Pitt, who had been at Stanford, one of the few guys like Mike Montgomery, who was at Stanford and Cal. And
yeah, that's right.
Just a quality guy. So it made me, and when I saw that guy make that shot, I go, oh my gosh. Wow. that was really something.
Yeah, he's a great dude too. Like, just an incredible personality. Yeah, like a fun-loving guy. He used to gyrate his hips after hitting threes in Santa Cruz. He'd do like a little dance for the fans. It was awesome. He'd like put his hands on his head and do like little hip gyrate. Yeah, he's a character, jeez, man. Awesome guy. But yeah, so like part of me was like happy to see him hit that go-ahead three. And part of me was very frustrated that the Warriors were about to lose to the Utah Jazz. Some silver linings. I would say there have been some silver linings from the last couple of games. Namely, I think Kristaps Porzingis playing two of the last three games, scoring 17 against Chicago. Let's hear from Steve Kerr on Porzingis helping the team gain more advantages offensively. Then we'll get your response, Saint.
Well, he's a guy who can catch with a live dribble and get his shot off pretty easily, and he's a great shooter. So he gives us an isolation threat at a time when, you know, we don't have Jimmy and Steph. And so between Al and Kristaps, I really feel like we're able to gain some advantages offensively to draw help and move the ball and get open looks.
Yeah, you know, Steve breaks it down just great. And, you know, I've been a fan. You and I talked about this. I met him when he was playing in Dallas when my son Greg was there. And he's just a great guy. And it's unfortunate. He's just had a rough run health-wise. But there's no debate about his skill. I mean, my gosh, a guy that long that can have those kind of hands and touch on the ball, and he can pass the ball, he can rebound, he can block shots, and he's a team guy. I think he's a pretty darn smart player too. So, you know, let's not pull down the flag yet. You know, if Steph comes back and this guy gets a little bit healthy. I'm not telling you you're getting up to six, but the team that Kevin that surprised me has been Phoenix. You know, they're winning without their superstar, Brooks, who claimed the other day that he was better than half the league. I read an article which made me laugh. But, you know, I think they're going to stay there. But on the other side of the coin, look at the Clippers now.
Yeah.
I mean, this race is really going to be something. I think we're locked into Portland being 10. But, you know, I think 7, 8, 9 are still going to be wide open for quite a while here.
Well, the Warriors are only up a game and a half on the Portland Trail Blazers, and the Blazers have the tie.
Is that all it is?
Yeah, that's wow. That's what losing 7 of 10 and 3 in a row will do for you. Is you drop under 500 for the first time in nearly 3 months. So, yeah, I thought the advantage over the Blazers was a little larger than it was. Now, here's the thing: they're not going to fall below 10 because Memphis has lost 5 in a row. The Dallas Mavericks and 12 have lost 8 in a row. Those teams aren't trying to win games. Like, the Pelicans are the only team incentivized to win in the bottom five, and
keep
they're 11.5 game back. Yeah, they're 11.5 games back of Golden State. So the Warriors are going to be in the play-in one way or another, but you would much prefer to be 8 instead of 9, and you'd rather be 9 than instead of 10. There's like one little kind of carrot to be just a little bit better in the play-in standing. 7 gets 2 home games. 8 gets 2 cracks at it in the second game if they lose the first at home. And 9 gets a home game, and then a 10 has to win 2 on the road. Miami Heat, speaking of the Heat, they actually became the first 10 to make the playoffs last year when they won 2 play-in games on the road. So it is doable, and it's certainly doable if you have a healthy Stephen Curry and Kristaps Porzingis coming back. The report saying today from Warriors PR that Steph is going to be out for another 10 days. So he'll be reevaluated March 21st. So he'll be out for another few games. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll take a look ahead at what is on tap for the Warriors. And we'll talk about some of the other guys on the team, taking your calls as well. 888-957-9570 right here on 95.7 The Game.
We've tended to our wounds.
Just a flesh wound.
Look, stop that!
Chicken!
What are you gonna do, bleed on me?
Now back to the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Back here on 95.7, wrapping up the hour with you on Warriors Roundtable. If you want to get in on the fun, 888-957-9570 is the number. The Saintly One and myself, Kevin Dana, with you. The Warriors now under 500 for the first time since December 32 and 33. They'll look to get to 500 when they take on the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday. And Saint, this is a Minnesota team that's coming off a couple of pretty bad losses. I mean, they lost to Orlando. It was not close. And that was a home game on Amazon Prime. And then last night losing to the Lakers 120-108. They kind of bumbled through a good chunk of the regular season last year, got their way into the sixth seed, and then made it to the Western Conference Finals for the second straight year last year. So, I mean, they've been in the Final Four the last 2 years, but how for real is this team, Saint?
I don't know if they get there this year. Edwards really had a horrible night last night, and obviously he's one of the best players in the league. And you know, Randall's a big-time scorer, and they're never in sync with Gobert in there. You know, he can block shots and really distract you in the paint. But I like Reed. I look at that team, and I don't know. Dante maybe would be better coming off the bench if they had a regular point guard in there. They average about 118 a game. They score well. But they didn't look good the last 2 games. The Lakers, that was a heck of a win for them. They've had a couple of really good defensive efforts while LeBron has been out, and it really kind of rejuvenated them. But if I was Minnesota, I'd have a lot of concern. So I on one side, they're not playing well, but a team that's won as much as they have, I think they're going to come out really focused to get a win here in the Bay Area.
Again, if you want to talk to us, 888-957-9570 is the number. Let's head out to Tom in San Mateo. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, how we doing, guys? Always good to talk to you.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Tom.
Of course. Two questions, mainly to both of you, and Coach, you as also a general manager. When you see in a team like this, you got pretty much all your star players injured or half injured. You want to almost shut it down just to worry about next year? In your case, what would you think about that? And then, Coach, if I get it off air, what do you think about Adebayo with 83 and 43 free throws and what it means for the game and tanking in general, what it means for the game? In my eyes, I see it as tanking. How is this to happen?
Well, Tom, thanks for calling. And to your first point, you're never going to see the Warriors do that because that all starts at the top. And your top guys, whether it's Mike Dunleavy or whoever, would go and chat with Joe Lacob, and I just don't see him doing that. So we can cross that off. And I think, Kev, you can speak up here. I really think they're going to address that this offseason. I think they're really going to tighten that up, come up with some innovative concepts to really limit this, because it's not good for our game. It really isn't. And to Tom's point, bringing up Adebayo, well, Washington's one of those teams, you know, that's in what, the bottom four or five. And so they just got young and they hope their future's kind of bright. But for them, they didn't have a lot to play for. And, you know, I've seen games where guys like just play right into your hands. They just, and I don't like it. It just doesn't look good for our league, but I'm not going to take anything away from Adebayo. Kev, you know this. He's always been a stellar defender.
Yep.
And he's a team guy. He's a leader and all those kind of things. But they've kind of changed their thought process. They've got him picking and popping more. And he'll drift out to the three-point line. That was not part of his game. Well, I'll tell you what. Nobody works harder than the Heat players. And I bet Spo was just happy as heck to see him have that kind of game from the perimeter to launch that many and keep shooting them. And the embrace they had at the end of the game, I just love that. I thought that was super, super special.
I mean, here's the crazy thing about his 83 points last night. He didn't really even have that good of a shooting game. He was 7 of 22 from downtown. Like, if he had, like, a good shooting
22.
Game, like, say he was 10 of 22 from three, that's 92 points. It could have been better. Like, as crazy as it is to say, like, he left a few points out there, and he was 20 of 43 overall, which is good. Don't get me wrong. That's really solid. But it's not like he was, like, 30 of 43 or something like that. So,
I agree.
So, it's almost Kev, like –
you know, I don't know about you. I hope the record stays in Wilt's hands. Because,
okay, really.
He's just a legend in the NBA history game. And I was fortunate enough, I think I was with the Nets. We played Philadelphia there in Hershey, Pennsylvania, where he scored the 100 and Al Addle scored 16 for all you trivia guys. So Al was the second scorer there. But I remember going there and I was trying to find that Hershey store because I kind of like dark chocolate. But it was a, I don't know, 4,000. See, there used to be the Hershey Bears in the American Hockey League played there.
Okay, Bears.
And that's I go back to my hockey days. But I'm a Wilt guy. I just but what a night. If you asked me, like you said, list 100 guys, I wouldn't have had them in my list to get that type of scoring game.
Exactly.
It's really amazing.
It really is. We got time for one more call. Let's head out to Bob in Reno. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, what's up, guys? Just got to throw one more question for you guys to end the show. But, you know, with these games coming up and, you know, the Warriors going to be down Steph for a while. What do you guys think this team looks like going towards the end of the season? And what is the playoff outcome really looking like for Golden State if Kristaps, Steph, Draymond, Moses Moody all kind of come back and we kind of get everybody kind of healthy and get that rotation moving.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, that's a big if, you know, if you can get them healthy. But I'm going to say it again. In a one-game thing, you don't want to be playing against Steph Curry. I mean, no. You just don't. And if you let Draymond play his natural position of four and Horford or Porzingis can carry the minutes there, I think we see vintage Draymond in three of those games. I just thought he was stellar defensively.
Yeah.
And you mentioned Moody, and they can beat these teams. I really believe it. Now, you might be in a position where you've got to win a couple, but that's okay. I think they can do it. And, Kev, if I'm OKC, I don't want to play them. No, I don't want to do that. I want to play somebody else, not Steph Curry.
Yeah, I think the best case scenario now for Golden State is the 8 seed. Like they could, like, they're not far from being the 8 and getting in the 7-8.
Yeah. Yep.
But Steph out for another 10 days, like that definitely, and a 6-game road trip coming up where, you know, four of the 6 games are against teams that are really trying to win right now. And so it's not going to be easy, but you just want a shot if you're Golden State. Well, we'll end on this, Saint. Got a couple minutes left here. So after Minnesota, they start a 6-game road trip, and it starts in New York. And the Knicks, they've been up and down. I mean, that was a really subpar performance against the Lakers on Sunday, where they were down more than 25 in that game, eventually lost 110-97. But where do you slot the Knicks in the Eastern Conference, Saint? And where's had a lot of recent success at MSG? I've done actually – each of the game there, each of the last 2 years, both of them Warriors wins.
Well, I just think that's such a special place to play. And, you know, you get to go up that ramp, and that's where they bring the elephants in. So it's the timing of coming there. Now, in my day, they let us use the elevator there on 42nd Street, but I don't see anybody using that anymore, so I'd have a hard time.
I'm
going to tell you. Yeah, everybody's up the ramp, I guess, because the bus park's there now. Yeah. But I got to say this to you. Brunson didn't look good the other night against the Lakers either. And I'm not telling you they had a stellar defender on him. Maybe fatigue, but I think he's got to get off the ball more, be less ball dominant. And, you know, they could be great. But I will say this. Don't throw Boston out of this thing. Now, you guys know I'm from there. But to get Tatum back, they have done a fantastic job. Fantastic job. And, you know, and then I have so much respect for Detroit. I think they've done it right. You know, I know people in the front office, the coaches. I just really respect what they've done. And, you know, what happens if Embiid plays? You know, that's a whole different team. And, you know, we can go on and on. Orlando's playing a lot better since the break. And but the East, I respect those guys back there, but it's not the West. Man, oh man, this is amazing.
Yeah, no, it really is. Well, we're just about run out of time, so we appreciate you tuning in. Big thank you to Mark Grandy and Lucas Alexander behind the scenes at our 95.7 The Game Studios. Big thank you to R.C. Davis for helping us get the Jose Pineda interview. And
that
will do it for the saintly one. I'm Kevin Dennis saying sayonara. Also, rest in peace to Lord Sear, one of my favorite radio DJs on Shade 45, passed away today. So rest in peace, Lord Sear. Thank you for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining the Warriors Roundtable on 95.7 The Game.
Step left wing three. Cha-ching! 58-41, Darvin Ham says, I want to take a timeout because this one is over.
For tickets, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.